Chapter 43. So we spoke about the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. That means in order actually Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem to be in fear of Hashem and to love God, to love Hashem. And this, as we've mentioned in the past, there are two separate mitzvahs that apply to all the other mitzvahs. And those two separate mitzvahs are, no matter which mitzvah you do, and even if you're not proactively doing a specific mitzvah, there is what's called a mitzvah tmidius, a constant mitzvah, constant obligation for us as creations of Hashem, creations of God, and as Jews. We have a constant mitzvah to love Hashem. As we say in the Shema V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem. That's a constant state of mind. And it also applies every time we do a mitzvah. The mitzvah should be done out of a sense of love for Hashem. We also have a mitzvah to be in awe, to be fearful of Hashem. Hashem Elokecha Tira, you should be in awe and fear of Hashem. And that is also a constant mitzvah that it applies in general, but specifically when you're doing a mitzvah, that the motivation, therefore, for doing any one of our mitzvahs is not just because it makes us feel good, not just because we think we're going to save the world, not just because we think we're going to influence our family for the good, for whatever reason, or the reward we're going to get, but the motivation, therefore, and the emotion that we should be feeling when we're doing the mitzvah, and even if we're, as I said, not doing a specific mitzvah, just in general, we should be able to have this constant state of mind, this emotional attitude that is Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, and Avas Hashem, and love for Hashem, general obligation. The Alter Rebbe spoke in chapter 41, a couple of chapters back, that the initial motivation for a person doing a mitzvah, if you want to do the mitzvah properly, if you want to do the mitzvah not selfishly, but to be a servant of Hashem, so the initial motivation has to be Yiras Hashem, has to be the fear of God. And what that means is that when we are created, that means that we have a creator that has an agenda for us. And we believe that Hashem doesn't only create the world and, God forbid, leave it and not care what happens with the world. Hashem created the world because there's a purpose to the world. What is the purpose? The purpose is, the initial purpose is that we, the creation, should be doing certain things. For some reason, Hashem wants that. And the general purpose, meaning all of those things that we're doing, should lead to a state where Hashem feels welcomed in the world. In the language of Chassidus, he should have a dwelling place in this world, just like a person builds a house for two different reasons. The first reason that you build a house is you need shelter, plain and simple. There's a practical reason. If it's raining or it's cold or there's dangerous people outside, you need a place to go to. You need a place where things should happen. So that Hashem wants us to do mitzvahs on a practical level, that the world should be safe, a safe space. But then there's a deeper reason why Hashem created the world. And that is the deeper reason, analogous to the deeper reason why we want a home. So you say there's a house and there's a home. A house is a place where you have shelter against rain, against cold, against ganavim, against wild, dangerous people. But a home is a place where you find emotional comfort, where you find emotional acceptance, where you feel emotionally happy, where you feel wanted, you feel loved, you feel this is your space, this is your happy place. And Hashem similarly creates the world for both of those reasons. Initially, our task in the world is to create both of those things. Initially, our task is to create safety, practical, pragmatic, that the world should not be beating each other up and people should be acting nicely. And if there's a poor person, you should give them money just because they need to live. And if there's a person that's attacking somebody else, you should make sure that there's a police and make sure that that you yourself are acting correctly and morally, and families are, the machine is working properly. That's initially. But then Hashem has a much deeper meaning, see this teaches, much deeper reason for creating the world. And that is, again, Hashem wants to have a dira. Dira is a Hebrew word that means a home, a space where he's loved, where he's welcome. Not just that it's, you know, it's a, no, people aren't fighting, but he's proactively welcome. And proactively welcome means, again, that we fulfill our commandments, our mitzvahs, with avas Hashem and yiras Hashem, with love for Hashem and fear and awe of Hashem. As a matter of fact, the Torah tells us, and the Alter Rebbe is going to quote from the Mishnah, that if there is no wisdom, there is no fear of God. The Mishnah then goes on to say, if there's no fear of God, there is no wisdom. I'm reading now from the introduction here on Chabad.org, Lessons in Tanya, chapter 43. The Alter Rebbe is going to speak now about the two levels, the love, fear of Hashem, and the level of, in this chapter 43, we're going to talk about two levels in fear of Hashem. We're going to talk about two levels in love of Hashem. And then specifically, we're going to examine the concept of fear of Hashem and explain that even in the first level of fear of Hashem, there's also two levels. So the Mishnah tells us that there is a ladder, there is a process to reach these levels. And the process starts with fear of Hashem. It moves on to love for Hashem. And then from love of Hashem, it moves to a greater love of Hashem. And it concludes in a greater fear of Hashem. So it goes fear, love, love, fear. What do all these levels mean? So the Alter Rebbe is going to be teaching us, what do these levels mean? And again, just to review, in chapter 41, we spoke about the bedrock necessity, the ground level necessity to have fear of Hashem, as I just mentioned to you, because, just to keep it fresh in your minds, because if you're not worshiping Hashem with a certain sense of fear, if you're doing it for yourself, you're doing the mitzvah for yourself. People say, keep kosher because you're going to be healthier. Keep Shabbos because your family is going to be to have a chance to gather around the dinner table, and you're going to be have a chance to disconnect from all of your responsibilities that are taking you away from your real purpose and your family and so on. I mean, these are all pragmatic, wonderful reasons to keep mitzvahs. But if that's the reason that you're keeping the mitzvah, then at the end of the day, you're worshiping yourself. Then you've turned Torah, and you've turned Hashem's instructions not into a mechanism for welcoming God into your space, but it's simply self-serving. So who are you worshiping at the end of the day? What's the purpose of everything you're doing? Is yourself, your own happiness. So everybody understands that, of course, you want your child to listen to you, even if it's completely self-serving for the child. That means the child says, you listen to me, I'll give you a candy. If you listen to me, if you do your homework, if you clean your room, I'll take you on a trip, I'll buy you a present. Now, I mean, this is not a bad thing, but that's for a child. That's how you talk to a child. Eventually, if your child grows up to be 20, 30 years old, and the only reason that they're coming to visit you in the nursing home or whatever it is because they're waiting for you to die and they don't want to be written out of your will. So that's a very, very poor relationship. I would argue that's no relationship at all. That's total self-serving. The only reason your kid is there for you is because you're feeding them and you're giving them free rent, and eventually you're going to die and give them your money. I mean, this is not exactly a good relationship. And Hashem looks at us and says the same thing. Hashem says, what are you doing? What are you here for? Why are you doing the mitzvahs? Is it all self-serving? Are you doing the mitzvahs in order that your life should be better? So yes, in an initial baby step way, of course, that's how we motivate our own children. And we teach them, do this, you'll get a present, do this, you get that. But we understand that as mature adults, that's not the way to act. You know, as mature adults, we have to grow beyond being selfish and self-serving. Our ego can't be our motivator. It has to be something greater. And now we're going to talk about those different levels of sublimating our ego, of putting our ego on the side to the point where our ego doesn't even exist at all. This is very, very difficult because as human beings, our ego is what drives us. Without ego, you wouldn't wake up in the morning. You don't care what people think about you. If you don't care what your responsibilities are, then how are you going to be motivated to do anything? So we are trained as secular people that ego is the most important thing. And yes, you can manage your ego. You can not be completely tied and subservient and motivated completely egoistically. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a feeling of self, what are you worth? Then what will motivate you? And this, parenthetically, is the incredible richness of Tanya, incredible beauty and depth of Torah in general, which, of course, the Tanya is bringing out, the depth of our relationship. And it's completely lifting us to new heights, lifting us to new levels, that without Torah, we would never be able to understand that we are, in fact, not the sum of our egos, that, in fact, what motivates us is our neshama, our soul. So you can say it in other words. You can say, who are we really? That's the question. What are we really? Are we really this individual, this human, this person that has a need to have a place in society and a need to have an orderly family and kids that are not the dysfunctional and a life? Is that really what we are? Or are we really, meaning who is the we, the real we? Is a real we the creation of Hashem? We're simply creations of God. If that's our real we, that's our real ego, that's our real inner core, then we can understand that the greatest fulfillment that we can have is by nullifying ourselves completely back to our source. Meaning, if the real we is our spirituality, and not our materialistic body. Our body is just a shell. And the real we is our energy. But that already we can understand now in scientific terms. If you take a look at something, science has defined that the E equals MC squared. I mean, this is another Jew, Einstein, right? What does he say? He says that the real mass, what is mass? Mass is energy. And he actually gives us a formula to calculate how much energy is in mass. So you take a look at a banana. Banana is not a banana. Banana is energy. You take a look at a house. A house is not an atom. Is not an atom. An atom is energy. A house is not a house. A house is energy. So again, we have these tools today to understand these mystical concepts in very real ways. So we therefore are not ego. We therefore are not simply humans. We are Hashem's energy, and therefore, the highest form that we can take is connecting ourselves and actually losing ourselves back in the source, realizing and recognizing that we are it. And so let's go from these highfalutin concepts to talk about the steps. Now we understand the goal. Let's talk about the steps. So the goal is, as we've said, to recognize that our materialistic ego absolutely doesn't exist. Even our spiritual ego doesn't exist, meaning that even we're not even looking for spiritual completion, our personal spiritual completion. We're actually looking to be completely subsumed, completely nullified within our source, within Hashem's essence. And this is the ultimate goal. And in language of Tanya, this is called the highest level of Yiras Hashem, the highest level of awe of God. Highest level of awe is when you don't even exist. So let's talk about the level specifically. The Mishnah, and we have these levels from the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us that there are, in fact, these levels. So the Mishnah says, if there is no wisdom, there is no fear of God. If there is no fear of God, there is no wisdom. So clearly you see that obviously these two sentences don't make any sense. How could you say if there's no wisdom, there's no fear? If there's no fear, there's no wisdom. So what are you supposed to do? So the obvious conclusion is that we have to conclude from this paragraph in the Mishnah is that it's a ladder. In fact, there's four steps we're talking about here. First comes wisdom. which leads you to a certain level of fear of God. And then comes that level of fear of God at a higher level, and that which leads you to a higher level of wisdom. So this is what we're talking about. So two levels of fear. In the language of Tanya, Yira Tata'a. Tata'a is simply an Aramaic word that means lower. And in Aramaic, Tata'a means lower. And the Aramaic word for higher is Ila'a. Tata'a and Ila'a, lower and higher. But you don't have to say Aramaic, it's the same as saying it in English, lower and higher. But the Alter Rebbe does use this as terminologies, as one of the terminologies in any field of study. There are certain terms that once defined, you can just simply use those terms. And then they mean what the definition is and not just what the simple words are. So Yira Tata, the lower level of fear of God, Yira Ila, the higher level of fear of God. And we're going to be explaining in the first half of this chapter 43, what are these two levels actually? How does this work? The Alter Rebbe says, concerning the lower level of Yira Tata, as I mentioned in chapter 41, the Alter Rebbe said that the mitzvahs must be done as a baseline, must be done with a sense of Yira, sense of awe and fear of Hashem. Because if not, then you're serving yourself, you're not serving a master. The word mitzvah means a commandment. If you're not doing a commandment, if you're doing what you're doing to make yourself happy, you're not doing a commandment. You're not a soldier in the army. You're not an individual. You're not a worker for a boss. Then you're the boss. Nothing wrong with being a boss. Nothing wrong with not being a soldier. But there's everything wrong when we're talking about a relationship with our God, because the mitzvahs are supposed to lead us to true completion, to true elevation. And true elevation is when we are connected with our spirituality, with Hashem. And therefore, we must do the mitzvahs in a sense of mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are not simply good deeds. The mitzvahs are, meaning they're helpful for us in our personal lives, but the mitzvahs are commandments. And that's what the word mitzvah means. The word mitzvah, in fact, has two meanings. The mitzvah means, from the word tzivui, tzivui means a commandment. And it also comes from the Aramaic word savta, which means a connection. So a mitzvah both connects and commands and instructs us in what Hashem wants from us. And therefore, we understand that if you don't do the mitzvah with a sense of awe and fear, then you're not a soldier in the army. Then you're the general, then you're the president, then you're the czar. You're not the czar, we're the soldier. If we're the soldier, then we have to have a sense of awe and respect for the general, for the supreme general who is commanding us. So the Alter Rebbe now is talking about those levels of that level of yira. The lowest level of yira, fear of Hashem, is a level where we are feeling ourselves. Now, again, let's move up. The Alter Rebbe is not even talking about the baby steps of Yira. The baby step level of Yira is fear of Yira, what's called in Hebrew Yiras Ha'onesh, fear of punishment. Yiras Ha'onesh means we're afraid that we're going to get punished. So a Jew says, I don't want to do this sin because I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to be punished. My kids are going to suffer, God forbid. I'm going to lose the business deal. I'm going to get sick. Hashem is not going to take care of me. This the Alter Rebbe is not even talking about. We've progressed beyond that level. So fear of punishment, which is really the starting point of it means it's a high level already. It means a certain level. It means that you completely believe that Hashem runs the world. You completely believe that Hashem, that your actions are going to be determining what benefits you're going to be getting from Hashem. And you completely believe that if you don't do this thing, then the flow of energy is not going to come to you. That's a very powerful, that's already a very powerful level. Alter Rebbe is taking us and starting us on a level that's yet higher than that. So we're not even talking here, the lower level of fear, we're not even talking about that as yiras ha'onesh, meaning a fear of punishment. We're going beyond that. So what is the lower level of fear? The first level of the lower level, that Rebbe is going to talk about two levels in the lower level of fear. So this is a sense of feeling yourself. We're not talking at all about fear of punishment, where you're not doing this just because you're going to get smacked in the face, slapped on the wrist, or whatever it is, shown the door, kicked out of the room, whatever term you want to use. That we're not talking about. We are talking about a person, however, that has a sense of themselves, and they have a sense of their own self-worth. And a person, for example, is not going to run down the street acting in a crazy way in public. You're not going to show up. You're not going to run out of your house half-dressed. You're not going to run out of the house having an argument with your friend, your spouse, in front of everybody. You're not going to steal in front of everybody, whatever it is, even if you want to steal. Why? Self-respect. What does self-respect mean? You care how other people look at you. You have respect for yourself. And therefore, you care what other people think about you. That is, the Alter Rebbe is telling us, is the lowest level of fear that we're talking about right here. Meaning, we care who is the other people, not other people, it's God. You care what Hashem thinks about you. Why do we care what Hashem thinks about you? Because Hashem is looking at you. So if a person is able to bring themselves to a constant state of mind where you are believing that because Hashem knows everything and sees everything, Hashem is looking at you right now. And if Hashem is looking at you right now, if a person was looking at you, just your friend was looking at you, you wouldn't act a certain way. You would act differently than if you think nobody's looking at you. You'd be straightened up. You'd be saying the right things. You'd be kinder. You'd be gentler. You'd be nicer. You'd be bending over to help that poor person on the street, whatever it is, just to impress your friend. How much more so? You definitely wouldn't do anything that's, you know, is illegal or wrong, or would make people say that you're a bad person just because your friend is looking at you. See, Alter Rebbe says the very first level of fear is Hashem is looking at you. God is watching you. If Hashem is looking at you and Hashem is an all-powerful king, then shouldn't you be afraid to do something that is wrong in Hashem's eyes, in Hashem's plan? Shouldn't you be afraid? That's the lower level of fear. As I said, this is already higher than just a fear of punishment. This is a fear of punishment is a person who has no self-respect. You're a ganef. You're a lowlife. You're a degenerate, but somebody is going to cause you enough pain, lock you up in jail. The policeman is going to hit you with his baton, with his nightstick. So you're going to beat you up. So you're not going to steal from the person. But do you care what people think? No, you don't care. So this we take for granted that a person has progressed beyond that. So as I said, the lowest level of fear here is you're not really anymore just fear of punishment, but now you are a fear of what will Hashem think of me? Look, Hashem is, I don't want to disappoint my creator, and I don't want Hashem should look at me and say, oh, look at this person, I'm giving them their life, I'm giving them everything, look what they're doing. So this is a fear of Hashem that comes from recognizing the greatness of Hashem. Hashem is such a great, powerful God, giving us everything. The next level of fear of Hashem, which is still a lower level of fear of Hashem, is we are in a yet greater sense of awe of Hashem when we think about the power of God's majesty. We think about how Hashem is giving life to the entire world. Not just Hashem is God, but look what a powerful God Hashem is. Not just that God is giving us what we need specifically, but God is creating the whole world, giving life to the whole world. And the more we think about how great and awesome Hashem is, the more we arrive at a level of fear that, again, it's motivated by a sense of self-respect. It's motivated at the end of the day when you really examine where does this emotion come from. It comes from a sense of we feel that we ourselves shouldn't act a certain way because we are beneath acting that. That's beneath us. We don't do that because we don't. Like a mother would tell the child, the reason you don't do that because by us in our family, we don't act that. Your friends might act that way. Person on the street, your person that you saw might act that way. But we don't act that way. So person kid says, what do you mean we don't act? Why don't we act that way? I wanna do it. No, you're above that. This is beneath you. So the same thing, at the end of the day, the reason that these two levels of fear of Hashem are still called the lower level of fear is because it is, at the end of the day, something that is motivated by our sense of self-worth, our sense of what the proper way to do is not like this. So I don't want God to be disappointed in me because I am greater than that. I'm better than that. I don't want to reduce myself to that level. Let's see a little bit in the text what Al-Tareb is saying. Concerning this level of Yiratata, this lower level of Yir, we said in the previous chapter, the province of every Jew, that every Jew is absolutely capable of attaining this emotional state and for the fulfillment of his commandments in both areas of turn away from evil, do good, whether it's a commandment that is something that you're not supposed to do. So it's more logical, it's more understandable why that's motivated by fear. A person says, the Torah says, not supposed to insult someone. You're not supposed to murder, not supposed to steal, not supposed to commit this crime, that crime. So obviously fear is a motivator that stops you from doing things. But fear also, the Alter Rebbe says, can motivate you to do good things. How could fear motivate you to do good things? As we explained. Because the fear of not having Hashem disappointed in you will motivate you to do whatever you need to do. Why are you showing up to work on time? Because you want your boss to be proud of you. You want your family to say, look at this person. Look at the position that they got. So the fear of disappointing and fear of showing up, it means you're not going to do a bad job. You'll show up to work. You'll be a good parent, a good worker, a good friend, because you don't want that the person should say you're going to go to the party, you're going to whatever it is, even though you're tired. You don't want your friend should say about you, you're not my good friend. So you, even though you're not feeling 100%, you'll push yourself to go to the party anyway. So this could motivate, fear can motivate not only, the Alter Rebbe says, stopping doing bad stuff, which that's logical, but fear also motivates you. And again, fear is the fear of disappointing the other person in you, the sense that you are obligated by your own estimation of yourself to act a certain way. So it motivates you to do good also. As said by our sages, if there is no fear, there is no wisdom. If fear of God is lacking, one cannot properly fulfill the Torah and mitzvahs. This lower level of fear comprises, the Alter Rebbe says, two levels. There is a smallness and a greatness. There are two levels to this fear. So this fear of Hashem that comes from a sense of our self-estimation, that comes from a sense of we don't want to be disappointing God in us because we have a certain sense of self-respect, has two levels. And the two levels is depending on what specifically is motivating us to have this sense of, so to speak, self-respect. Here you see the comment, the quality of smallness describes the fear which is experienced as a result of the Jews' innate fear of God and is revealed through meditating on matters that lead to the fear of God. Since it does not result from contemplating God's greatness, it is deemed small. The quality of greatness characterizes the fear of God. The results come from God's greatness as it can be discerned from creation. This means that fear has a quality of greatness when the result is proactively thinking about Hashem. What that means is that a little child doesn't think, doesn't know. A little child is afraid to make the parents angry. Why? Why? Because of a relationship. So this is inborn. We say inborn morals, inborn sense of I need to do something. Again, In Tanya, and we spoke about this many times in the previous chapters, the difference between something that is inborn, innate, natural to ourselves, that's always called a lower level. That means if you're acting according to your nature, even though your nature might be very good, you might naturally be a wonderful, loving, giving person. But if that's your nature and you've never corrupted yourself, you still have this childlike ability to love and to be kind and to be wonderful and to be giving. So it's a wonderful thing because at the end of the day, you're doing the right thing, but you're doing the right thing for an undeveloped reason. Let's put it that way. You're doing the right thing for a childlike reason, not for an adult reason. Adults and children, the difference should be a child acts by instinct and an adult acts by understanding, by contemplation, by philosophy, by recognition of what's right, and not just instinctively being what's right. In the language of Tanya, we previously, in previous chapters, explained, use the analogy of animals and humans. We say that when a human is acting instinctively, that human is acting like an animal. Doesn't mean, again, like an animal is a wonderful thing. Animals are kind and loving. We're not saying animals don't go and murder people, unless the animal is sick or crazy. Animals, generally speaking, act much better with their kind than humans act with their kind. So this is not a put down to animals, but what it does say is that it means that we're acting with instinct. We haven't developed ourselves. And when we're acting with a sense of purpose, we're acting out of a sense of understanding, out of a sense of contemplation, meditation, philosophy. I understand this, I've thought it through, and therefore I'm doing it. Then we say that we're acting as humans. So an animalistic act in Tanya is another way of saying an instinctive act, something we're doing simply because that's our instinct. A human act, we say, is something that's done because of our meditation, our philosophy, our thinking. We're proactively changing ourselves to be greater and better than just the way we were on the day we were born. We've grown. We've grown intellectually. We've grown to think the right way and to act according to our thinking. And this also is the two levels of fear that we're talking about here. There is an instinctive level of fear that a child is born with. Child is born with a sense of fear. Every little kid, until the kid realizes one day, my parents are not really looking at me. I'm going to do whatever I want. But a little kid is instinctively raised with a certain sense of, I can't do this. These are things that are not done. A messed up kid loses that innocence at a too young of an age. And then unfortunately, the kid is not smart enough or mature enough to be acting according to understanding. So they lost their innocence and they don't have the understanding yet. So it's messed up. So then you have to step in with the parent has to step in with a punishment in order to bring that kid back in line. But a regular kid, meaning a kid who is not messed up, who hasn't been influenced by bad things, who hasn't been influenced by all kinds of stuff that the video games that they're playing where they're killing people and internet things where they're showing all kinds of degenerate stuff happening. A regular kid, a wholesome kid that we all wish our kids and ourselves would be like, has this natural sense. And that is the natural sense that we also have as human beings and as Jews, just because we are human and we have a neshama also, in addition to just being a human being. That's the lowest level of fear. We don't want Hashem to be disappointed in us because we have a certain sense of natural self-respect. The higher level of fear of Hashem comes from a recognition of how great Hashem is. So again, naturally, even if a person is looking at us, we wouldn't want to act in a way that we know is wrong in that person's estimation. But if you understand how great that person is, now you understand. You didn't know that the person was an amazing, great scientist, an amazing, great, whatever you respect, whatever you think is amazing, great, wonderful thing. It could be a star of some sort. It could be whatever floats your boat, whatever you think you would care what that person thinks about you. The more you appreciate what you consider to be that person's greatness, the more your own sense of self-respect, so to speak, kicks in, and the more careful you are in how you act and what you say. Now, notch that up infinite number of times, and let's talk about Hashem. We're talking about God watching you. The more you appreciate the greatness of Hashem, the more you are careful. If you believe that Hashem is watching you, the more you're careful in how you act. And that's the higher level of the lower level of fear. So it's still motivated by what you think about yourself. It's still motivated by your own sense of right and wrong and self-respect. But it's motivated by now intellect. It's motivated by meditation and proactively thinking about how great Hashem is and how powerful God is and how powerful and how Hashem gives life to the whole universe and sees everything. Not that Ebbek says here how the heavens and the earth is such a big distance and the creation is so huge. From heaven to the earth is 500 years from what the feet of the lowest level measure them up. And Hashem has all these angels under. So the more you contemplate, the more you meditate about how the worlds are so great, the more you will come to a certain sense of fear of how this great king, God, will think about you. Nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe says, it's still external and inferior. Why is this level of fear, where your knees are knocking, your teeth are chattering, you're completely beside yourself, what is God going to think about me, this great God? Because at the end of the day, it comes from an understanding of the greatness of God, meditating upon the divine life force, which animates them. You're talking about a fear that is motivated by the creation of the world and by your place in that creation. So at the end of the day, you are still you. You have not negated your ego. You've refined your ego, but you have not negated it. And therefore, this is all the lower level of fear. This contemplation can result in bitl ayesh, not in bitl b'metzius. There is two levels in Hebrew. So just as we mentioned to you, there are two levels that we're talking about here in terminologies. Yira tata and yira ilah. Tata and ilah. Tata means lower. Ilah means higher. Yira means fear. So these are two terms, lower level of fear, higher level of fear. The motivation or the result, the motivating result, the result that comes from these two levels is another two terms that we're introducing now, and that's bitul hayesh and bitul b'metzius. Bitul hayesh means, the word bitul means nullification. Yesh means your ego, your existence. Metzius means your entire being. So we have an individual whose ego is nullified. That means I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you. But I'm doing it for you. And then we have another level, and that's I'm not even here. Meaning it's not me that's doing it for you. I'm simply an extension of you. That, the Alter Rebbe say, is going to teach us as we continue. That's the ultimate level of fear of Hashem, where the higher level of fear, the higher level of the first, of the lower level of fear, the yira tata, is bitul hayesh. I don't exist. My ego, I'm not doing the mitzvah for me. I'm doing it completely because of what you want. But again, it's me. I recognize that I'm doing it. It's me that is doing it because you, Hashem, have asked me to do it. I will go to the ends of the earth. I will do whatever it is that you want because I want to make you, Hashem, happy. And that's why I'm here. The higher level than that, which we're going to talk about soon, which only comes from another two levels of love for Hashem that's in the middle here, is called bitul b'metzius, where I am seamless with you, God. Meaning, I don't even have to think about what I don't want, what I do want. So This is as and that's the test. Is there a thought process involved, or is it seamless and absolutely no yetzer hara, sense of struggle whatsoever? This is very difficult to say. There's no struggle. The person can say, "I will do whatever you want. I will not question anything." But at the end of the day, I got to work myself up to that level, and that's a wonderful thing. Or to say, "I have absolutely no struggle." This is a sense of total complete bliss. And so we're not up to that yet. So far, we're talking about this fear that serves as a gate, the lower level of fear, yirat hatod, lower level of fear, which serves as the gate and entrance to the performance of Torah mitzvahs. As mentioned earlier, the yirat hatod, the lower level of fear, which, as we've defined now, the higher level of the lower level of fear, the most perfect way of this lower level of fear, is a sense of awe of Hashem, recognition of God's greatness, that makes us and motivates us to be the very best that we could only be, because we don't want to be disappointing such a great God. That's the lower level of fear. This lower level of fear, of course, leads you to perform Torah mitzvahs. Obviously, if you have this intense appreciation for the greatness of your Creator, and your Creator is telling you to do certain things or not to do other things, then you're going to be doing everything that you need to be doing. You're not going to be doing anything Hashem doesn't want you to do, even the lowest. And it doesn't make a difference what you're doing, big or small. At this point, big mitzvahs, big sins, small sins, doesn't matter. If Hashem doesn't want you to do it, it's not your estimation of what's big and small. This is a perfect observance of mitzvahs, because true yirat hatod, if a person is truly motivated, and truly has reached this level of completely being excited and being motivated by what Hashem wants, then it's not your estimation anymore of this is a big mitzvah, small mitzvah. Then every single mitzvah, no matter how big or how small, will be done with exactly the same excitement, exactly the same care, and so on, because it's God's will. What's the difference if a person asks you to climb a mountain, or a person asks you to come across the room and sit next to them? What's the difference? If that's what the person wants, and you are completely in awe of that person, and you want to make that person completely happy, then you'll do it, whatever it is. So we're talking now about a complete observance of Torah mitzvahs. And what we are talking about here, the difference is, what's the motivation? So we've progressed way beyond just simply being motivated to be an observant Jew. This is an individual who has completely done everything and is doing everything. And the only thing that we want to do is be in the right state of mind mentally. So the yirat hatod, therefore, is the performance of mitzvahs that comes from a sense of understanding, intellectually meditating, contemplating on how great God is, and not wanting to disappoint that God. Yirila, which is the higher level of fear, is a fear which stems from a sense of shame before God's greatness. And now we're talking about this huge difference between fear of a mighty and powerful person, and that's a sense of fear from the outside of that person, meaning from what the effect of that person has on worlds around them. And then you have fear that is a sense of shame, and the Alter Rebbe says, yirei boshes, a sense of shame that comes not from how powerful and how effective that individual is, but it comes from the level of self-achievement, the level of holiness, the level of incredible wisdom that that individual has. So the Alter Rebbe says, this is the difference between fear of a king and fear of a tzaddik. When we stand in front of a king, he's standing in front of somebody who can smash you with their little pinky. Or you're standing in front of a king. You're standing in front of your boss who can fire you. The big boss on top of you. You're a little worker, a little, you know, janitor, and you're standing in front of the CEO of the company who has 50,000 people who work for them. So this individual may have accomplished, may not have accomplished, but what your fear is from what they can do, what they do and what they can do, what they can do to you and what they do to other people. It's the fear of a king. You take a look what this individual has accomplished. You take a look at the effect this individual has, talking about a king, talking about a CEO of a big company, and you're just a little cog in the bottom of the employment chain. So yeah, you're afraid of the boss. Why are you afraid of the boss? Because the boss is so, why do you want the boss to look at you in a certain way? Because this boss is so, as such a, but then you have, that's one level of fear. Then you have a level of fear where you have a tzaddik, a guy, person who had, doesn't have big company, doesn't have thousands of soldiers, doesn't have people who with a command they can change their life. But you have a person who has themselves worked on themselves to such a deep level that they have become superhuman in your eyes. In your eyes, this individual is superhuman because of what they've accomplished internally. When this person looks at you, it's a complete sense of you lose yourself. Why do you lose yourself? You say, what am I? I'm an insignificant nothing compared to this individual. My accomplishments, my essence, my everything doesn't even exist on this individual's radar. So this is what we call bitul b'metzius. We are completely self-nullified. It's not that we're thinking about ourselves and we're thinking, what can this person do to me if only this person wants, and therefore I'm going to be acting in a... No. We have complete self-nullification. We have a complete sense of shame. This is not embarrassment. This is a sense of nothing I've accomplished can be even in the same class, even in the same planet as what this individual has accomplished, assuming you have intense respect for somebody. So this is the higher level of fear. Now, this higher level of fear, to be true and to be honest and to be actual, requires a very, very deep sense of appreciation and a very deep sense of fulfillment of the individual who has reached this level of fear. As they say, the greatest scientists, the greater the scientist, the more the scientist understands what the scientist doesn't know. So the more humble that scientist is, the more you know about how great the subject matter is, the more you are in a sense of awe by that subject. A person who studies biology on a high school level, on a college level, whatever, even, so you think you're a big macher. Somebody tells you, or any other field of wisdom, you think you're a big macher. You can explain, you can this, you can that. I've grasped the subject matter. I'm completely familiar and you can talk whatever you. But the more you truly understand about how great the subject matter is, the more you understand how much you don't understand about the complexity of the subject, and the more you become overawed by that subject, the more you become nullified, that no longer do I feel in sense of ego where I am excited about myself. Look what I've accomplished. You feel that you've accomplished more, and now you understand you've accomplished nothing. Now you understand how far away you are from truly understanding. Now, the Rebbe is explaining to us that this is the higher level, yira ilah, the higher level of fear, when we have completely mastered our subject. Now we understand how we have absolutely not mastered our subject at all. Now we understand when we completely will fulfill the mitzvahs and we're on this level. So this is, we understand how far away we are from any kind of relationship with Hashem. I'm going to have a relationship with my creator. My creator is complete spirituality, complete infinite. I'm complete. What am I? I'm a speck. I'm a nothing. So this is, to recap the first half of this chapter 43, we conclude with this. And this, we're talking about, again, the two levels of yira, yira tata, yira ilah, two levels of fear. We spoke about in the two levels of, in the level of Yiratata, the lower level of fear itself comprises two levels, and that is the natural instinctive level of a certain sense of fear of what God is going to think about me just because I'm raised and born to be a normal person and not a degenerate. And that comes from a person's innate sense of what their character is just from birth and from growing up, hopefully, you know, half decently and being raised normally by your parents and by your society. But then there's a higher level in the first level of Yiratata. The higher level is coming from meditation, contemplation of how great Hashem is, that we absolutely don't want to be disappointing Hashem because we recognize that how we should be, our own sense of self-respect gets enhanced when we recognize how great Hashem is and Hashem is looking at us. But that all we said was a sense of still ego. It's our own self-respect. But then there is a level where our ego is completely nullified once we come to recognize and we're no longer in a sense of awe from the externality of Hashem, from what God accomplished, what God does, but instead we're in awe from this spirituality itself. And that, of course, takes a great level of sensitivity to actually reach, not just talk about it. There is, and just to conclude, there is a very great benefit to studying and to talking about this higher level of fear, even if we are not on that level, even around the first level, the lower level. But there is a great benefit to speaking about it and to understanding it and to talking about it and learning about it, because we all understand that when you talk about what the ultimate possibility is, where you can reach, then it motivates you to get on the train, to get on the ladder, to get on the exercise machine. And you say, I'm not going to be like this, but at least that's when you recognize how far you can reach and how far you can go, it motivates you to continue the journey and not to think that you've made it when you're still just on baby step number one. So when a person understands how great, for example, if you're into music, how amazing this individual can play, you know, the piano, the guitar, or the violin, whatever it is, then you understand, I've done a certain amount, but I've miles to go to reach this, the maestro's capability, the scientist's capability of understanding. But the more you understand what the top level is, the greater and the better it is for you and each of us to be able to motivate ourselves out. So that's our lesson for the first half of chapter 43. We will continue the second half of chapter 43, talking, as you can imagine, about the two levels of love. We said that the level of fear is sandwiched in between the two levels of fear is two levels of love. So we have to talk about what those two levels of love are, and that will be the second half of chapter 43. So if anybody has...
Rabbi, yes, I still have a question. I'm sorry, I still got all confused. So my understanding so far is that there are two levels of fear, higher Yira Tata and low Yira Yala, right? Yeah. And the low level, as you just summarized for us and explained to us, comprises of two levels, natural, instinctive, innate level. And then the next level is where we think, contemplate, meditate to recognize Hashem's greatness. And then the high level, Yala. So when we talk about the nullification of ego, is it already part of the higher level of fear, or it's still part of the... This is where I got confused. Where does that nullification of ego fits in? And I know then my understanding is that the next level is a nullification of even of your existence, not just ego.
Right. So the answer is there are levels. Negating ego, all like anything else, has levels. And it happens on each level a little bit. Your ego doesn't negate, you don't get rid of your ego in 1 second. It's a step-by-step process. So you cut down. So the first level is enhancing your ego in a certain way, but because it's based on self-respect. So at the end of the day, you've exchanged one one egoistic feeling for another egoistic feeling. That means the lowest type of egoistic feeling is I'm going to do what I'm going to do and I don't care about you, right? That's the lowest level of ego. I matter, you don't matter at all. Or even lower than that is I'm not even thinking, you're not even on my radar. So that's the lowest level of ego. I don't even know what you want. I don't care what you want. It's only what I want. So that we're not talking. That we've moved past. We've negated. We've progressed beyond that lower level. Now I am worrying about you. I do actually care about you. That's the Yiratata, the lower level of Yira. I care about you, but I care about you because I care about me. That means I care what you think of me. So I want you to be happy, and I am trying to make you happy, and I'm trying to do everything you want because I want you to be happy with me. I want that you should have a relationship with me, and I want to, at the end of the day, I'm going to be gaining from the relationship. But in order for me to have that relationship with you, I have to figure out what it is that you like. You know, I care about you. So it's still ego. Most people would say, if only we could be on that level, we were already tzaddikim. You know, because as I mentioned, this lower level of fear, which is egoistically driven, but still it's less ego than the first type of person who doesn't care about the other person at all. It motivates that individual to do everything right, like nothing wrong. Because if you really, 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 really care about the other person, you're not going to do anything that the other person, you know, there's no carve-outs at all. You're not going to do anything what the other person doesn't like. So in this case, you're acting like a tzaddik. You haven't done a certain any sin, even the smallest sin. You're doing every single mitzvah right. So
I understand that it's not like black and white, that it doesn't start at a specific moment or stop. I understand it's gradual and exists at all different levels. But if, let's say, you had to summarize, like put it down on a paper, so where does the Yira Ila start? Like what are the levels of Yira Ila, or is it something for the next class?
Yeah, Yira Ila, in order to get into more, we really have to first learn the other two levels of love for Hashem. And talk okay. About what is love.
Oh, so
mean.
it's Yira Tata, then those two levels of love, and then we get to Yira Ila, like that?
That's correct. So we have to talk about the two levels of love for Hashem. We have to talk, what does it mean to love somebody else? At the end of the day, is love also egoistic? I love you because you make me happy. I love you because you fulfill certain sense of my needs. That's why I love you. You wouldn't fulfill my needs, I wouldn't love you. I only love you because I love me. So we have to talk about that. And in order to reach, now the Rebbe sort of leapfrogged, jumped over the two levels and already told us the end of the story by explaining to us that the level of shame that comes, the level of total lack of self-estimation, it's a difference between self-worth and self, we're not talking about a person who has no self-worth. That we're not talking about. We're talking about a person who has no self-estimation. That means that you don't believe that any of your accomplishments are at all on the same planet as the other person's accomplishments. That's self-nullification to the nth degree. So we understand that we are humans. We understand that Hashem created us. We understand that we exist. We also understand with this higher level of fear that we completely have no space. We're here, we're created because Hashem created us, but we have no self-existence. These are words, you know, to use these words honestly and really requires a person to be on a certain kind of level. That's a very high level. I'm going to explain to us that we can talk about it and we can wish it upon ourselves, but to really be there, that we don't care about ourselves. So this is a process that is we're going to be t- talking about in a little more detail in the second half of the chapter, as you mentioned, that the two levels of love have to proceed. So we're going to talk about these levels, and hopefully we'll come to a little greater understanding of what they are. But as I said, the Alter Rebbe did leapfrog to tell us the end of the story right away by telling us that this is Yirei Boshes, a sense of shame before God's greatness. Complete nullification because you believe that the other individual, in this case Hashem, our God, our creator, is completely on a different planet. Nothing we've done can even do justice, even in the smallest bit, not because Hashem is so powerful, but because Hashem is so great and we are so nothing. So it's not what he can do to us, not how much he can beat us up or make our lives miserable or make our lives good, but it's not from what Hashem does. It's from Hashem's essence. So that's it's from the essence of the maestro, the essence of the scientist. You have a complete sense of nullification in front of this person, not because you're afraid they're not going to give you a job or they're going to be afraid what they're going to think about you. You just lose yourself when you're in their presence. You feel like you're a nothing based on what this other person has accomplished. So I don't know if that answered the question a little bit better, but with more discussion, I guess we could come to a little bit more understanding.